Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for listening to The Art of Image. I'm Dan Phillips. This program is focused on personal image development. These shows will discuss topics ranging from custom tailoring to business attire to communication and everything in between. Stay tuned. This is The Art of Image.
Joining us here in foggy San Francisco. Today is August 15th, 2010. On today's broadcast, we'll be focusing on wardrobe for women at a professional interview. And of course, our guest on this topic is none other than leading image expert Parker Geiger of the Chuba Group, a brand and image development company. How are you, Parker? I understand you'll be talking to us from a remote location.
Yes, we're up a place called Lake Oconee, which is about an hour and a half outside the city of Atlanta. And it's we're here working on the final touches of our interview skills books, actually. So it's ironic that we're doing this interview today while we're here.
Yeah, we'll keep our fingers crossed. Hopefully we'll have a good, clear signal. It sounds good from this end, at least, so far.
That's great. Yeah, up here there's not hardly any signals for sales or Internet.
Okay. Well, let's start with our first question.
Okay.
Parker, what are some common errors that women make when it comes to dressing for an interview?
Well, I think probably the most common mistake is they don't dress appropriately. And what I mean by that is mostly for the younger generation, because they assume business casual means you can go into an interview casually. And in this hostile environment in the business world right now, the competition is greater, so the more you can package yourself, be more effective, make you stand out, is critical. So I would say that the most important thing is to dress appropriately, and then the second thing would be, I think for the younger women as well, that they tend to dress a little bit more too sexy sometimes. Oftentimes, women will dress to their style and not really look at and notice that it's not communicating the message they want. On the other hand, the older generation might tend to dress just too staunchy and just too plain Jane, so to speak. Although you want to go into an interview neutral, you don't want to go in looking flat.
Mm. And is it really necessary for a woman to wear a suit at a professional interview?
Well, because there's so many different types of businesses out there, it's hard to say yes, clearly yes, but on average, I would say yes. A woman should wear a suit to an interview. Again, let's go back to that CPR to help them determine if it is a suit, what type of suit. In other words, the CPR stands for circumstances, purpose, and relationship. So once they identify that, they can look at it, for example, what their job title is, what the company is, where they're located. So once they do that, they can look at it and say, okay, I need to be more conservative or more authoritative, and that's when a suit would come into play. So I definitely recommend a jacket for the most part, because that gives a very tailored, nice, professional look, even for a business casual interview. For example, if you're applying for a job at a factory, you know, in a rural area, you know, people don't wear suits and dress real conservatively, and sometimes, especially in a factory, there's some rules and regulations you have to follow as far as dress is, depending on what type of factory it is. So if you look at that, for example, if it's more casual and it's just a pair of slacks and a top, then I would definitely recommend just putting in a nice jacket or a blazer to step it up one notch. You know, you can always step it up and you can always bring it down. So if you're looking at the different types of suits, for example, we have pants, you know, you have a skirted suit, which is the most conservative. and then you have a pantsuit, and then you would wear a separate, meaning a slack and a jacket. Now, one thing for the women to keep in mind is that when a jacket covers the hip line, when a jacket covers the hip line, it's more conservative. So even if you're doing a blazer, and it's a longer blazer versus a short bolero-style blazer, it gives a more professional look, and that's what we typically recommend with that.
Something comes to mind here, and that is, you know, oftentimes you know, when you're shopping for some clothing, the idea of fabric, you know, you kind of wonder yourself, you know, should I be buying this in, you know, a wool, or should I be buying it in, you know, this over here?
That depends on the personality of the individual, really. You know, you want it
okay.
to be more, most of your wools, you know, you have the tropical weight wools and your winter weight wools, where your winter weight wools are about 11 ounces per square inch, and they're thicker and heavier, and that's really, really for your cold climates. And then your tropical weight wool is where it's about 8 ounces per square inch. So if you're going to buy wool or blend with a synthetic, like a microfiber of some sort, which helps, you know, keep wrinkles out of the look, that's fine too. But remember, natural fibers breathe, so, and your synthetics do not. Now, they are making synthetics that they breathe now. But it's not quite there. Now, a lot of your other fabrics can be a microfiber that looks just like a wool blend or a wool fabric. So you have to really look at the cost, because a lot of synthetics now cost as much as or more than the actual wool does. And I think that's just because of the fact that it's become so popular. It's not because it's a limited resource, because they're manufacturing it. So it's a catch-22. You got to really look at your budget. Look at the quality, because there's a lot of quality suits out there, or a lot of wool suits out there that are supposed to be quality, but it looks very poorly woven. So it's, for me, it's more what is the look as opposed to what the fabric might be. You know, you want to look at texture. Don't make it too bulky. Just wear something that can be universal and used on many different levels.
And it looks like we've got, just one second here, it looks like I've got an email.
Okay.
There it is. The question is, I have an interview for a manager's position in internet marketing.
Okay.
What skirt length would be suitable for me at this interview? And this is from an emailer, Heather.
Okay.
Thank you, Heather.
Hi, Heather. The first thing I would consider is, internet marketing, that can mean a lot. Well, who's the customer? Who's the client? You know, is it a real conservative-type customer, client, company, or is it more of a business casual, real casual? Because that can range from casual to conservative. So I would look at that first. But typically, I would recommend that the skirt length should be mid-knee or just a little below. Not higher than the mid-knee, because when you sit down, your skirts rise about 6 inches. So you don't want to send the message that you're being too sexy. It's one thing to be feminine, which I believe in, that women should be more feminine. That's what I like about business casual. It allows more of the femininity to come through, but not the sexuality. And there's a huge difference there. So I would recommend, and long skirts can look matronly. They can look bulky. They're not easy to walk around in. So don't recommend long skirts. So if they're going to do a skirt, I would say mid-knee.
Okay. Now, Parker, are there any suit colors other than black or blue that would be perfectly fine at an interview for a woman?
Sure. What I recommend is to wear what I call the basic neutral colors. You know, your neutrals are your blacks and your grays and your browns, but your basics, what I call basics, or dark neutrals, could also be like an eggplant or an olive green, or something more on the deeper side. I would not go to the brighter colors, like a red or yellow or a bright chartreuse. Those are just really flamboyant colors, and I would stay away from that because it's distracting from the total message. So you've got your dark neutrals, your blacks and your grays, and then you can go into browns and your dark greens and your eggplants, colors of that nature, because they just stay neutral and they don't send a distinct message. But I would definitely avoid... like men can wear a red tie because it's a power tie. But for women, you don't want to wear a red suit to an interview. It's way overkill, so be careful of that. Even if you love red, I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay. Now, as far as handbags go, women, you know, often use them. I mean, it's universal.
Mm-hmm.
what would be the most appropriate handbag, if a handbag is something you should be having at an interview? Or
well, I think most women need to carry a handbag. Carry a handbag in a portfolio. Don't carry a briefcase. And then the handbag should complement the look. Again, going back to that, what I call the image concept scale. If you look at it from 1 to 10, 10 being the most formal, conservative, if your suit's a 7 and then your handbag is more of a 2, it's a huge disconnect. So you want to stay a 6, 7, and an 8 range of conservatism with that bag. So in other words, if you wear it in the suit and you wear a bag that you wear just every day because you don't like to change it out, and it's real casual or it's too dramatic, it's going to be a big disconnect in all work there. So that's the first thing I would look at. And the second thing is size. A lot of women's bags are oversized. It's a great look, but it's not very functional for a job interview. What I recommend also is having a handbag with handles and the bag being self-standing. So when you sit it on the floor while you're in the reception area or while you're being interviewed, it stands up. It doesn't fall over. You're able to grab it easily, you know, without having to fumble around and try to find it. The other thing, one thing I do recommend is not wearing a bag with the straps, because typically what women do is they'll put it over their right shoulder, and then when they go to shake the hand, the purse can fall and interfere with that handshake. So that's another reason. Now, if you do have a handbag that happens to be straps, that's fine. It's not that it's going to ruin anything. But put it over your left shoulder and tuck the bag, you know, underneath your arm. And what I mean by that is let it hang behind your arm so it doesn't fling around. But I definitely would try to do something without straps, if that's at all possible.
Great. And now this is a big one.
Okay.
Hairstyle. What are the do's and don'ts on women's hairstyle for the interview?
Well, it's interesting. We just did a TV show this past week on Channel 11 here in Atlanta. And we had four, we were talking about the Executive Image Enhancement Program, and one of our quote-unquote models, who is an actual client of ours, is going for a job interview. And when she came in, she wears hair that's really curly, and she puts it out, and it comes up from the back of the head. And we always say, if your hair's out here, your brains are too, psychologically. So you want to keep it controlled as much as possible. I'm not saying you can't wear curly hair. I'm not saying you can't be natural with your hair. It's how you style the hair. So hair pulled back, you know, in a ponytail is more conservative. Pull back in the buns, more conservative. A French twist is a little bit less conservative. But the key thing is, if you're going to pull your hair back and up, do not go above the crown area, because that looks too much like a evening look. You know, I always say, if you're not Ivana Trump, you can't wear your hair on top of your head. The crown area is like in the back. Yeah, it's like in the back of the head, like the top part where men kind of bald in the back, that area, and forward. I mean, I've seen women walk into interviews, they'll take their hair and put it up in a ponytail on the top of their head, and it's like a water spout coming out of the top of their head. That's very distracting, you know. I've coached women, they've come in for dressed the way they're going to interview, and one particular client I had, she was 35 years old, and she was a corporate attorney, and she had been outsourced, and she couldn't figure out why she wasn't getting called back for a second interview. Well, when she came in, her hair was pulled back in a bun, and it was just really pulled tight, so it really conflicted with her facial expression. So she didn't smile comfortably. Because her hair was so long, it was down past her knees. So imagine, you know, pulling all that hair up and pinning it to stay. You know, it can really constrict your facial expression. So that was one thing. And the second thing, she had those chopstick accessories sticking out of the back of her bun. So when you looked at it, it looked like antennas come out of the back of her head, and that was distracting, you know. So you got to be real careful.
That paints a picture, yeah.
Yeah. You got to be real careful with accessories, because accessories can be very distracting of a look. What I recommend women to do is using barrettes of some sort that match their hair color. So if they're black or brown, they can do the tortoiseshell. If they have light blonde hair, they can do the tortoiseshell brown shades as well. So, again, just make sure when you look in the mirror, it's not taking away from your professional look image. It should be enhancing it.
And I suppose having your hair pulled directly up, as you say, around the crown, would also make you appear as though you're you know, out on the town or at a debutante ball or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And that's what you don't want to do. Absolutely.
Now, what should... Now, this is the other... I would say this is the other very big one. This is the other topic that women are always thinking about, and that is cosmetics.
Mm-hmm.
What should women know when it comes to cosmetics at the interview?
Well, you know, if you look at fashion with cosmetics now, everything is kind of shiny and frosted. And if you go in like that, that's really more for an evening look. What I recommend women to do is stay to the neutrals. Don't do a lot of eyeshadow color. Just stay to your browns and your charcoal grays and your dark eggplants, things of that nature. Because all you really want to do is contour the face, highlight the eyes, frame. You really want to frame the eye. That's the whole idea behind it. So when you're wearing neutral colors, it's not distracting from your look. So I recommend you can wear a textured shadow, but blend it in with a matte shadow, and make sure that you know basically makeup is just it's not brain surgery. It's about light and dark. So where you want to set back an area, you put a darker shade, you know, and where you want to highlight an area to bring it out, you put a lighter shade. I think the most common mistake women make is they'll put a real light color on their brow bone and then dark colors on their lid, and typically speaking, it should be reversed because all they're doing is bringing out their brow bone more instead of their eyes deep set. You want to bring the eye out, so you do a little bit lighter shade on the eyelid and a little darker on the brow bone. That's not for everybody exactly, but that's pretty good general rule of thumb. The other biggest mistake that women make in makeup in general is the blush. You know, if you look at fashion, they'll tell you to make the apple of the cheekbone, and, you know, there's just so many things I've seen that's just crazy. But if you keep, typically, dark colors recede, so if you just put your blush just underneath your brow bone and kind of bring it up like a check mark, almost like a Nike logo, right, around the corner of the round of the cheekbone, and then you blend it upward. So that puts dark underneath the bone, which sets it in, and then the lighter of the same color is on top of that bone, so that brings out the cheekbones. If you're putting your blush directly in your cheekbone, you're setting your cheekbone in, you're not highlighting at all. And that's really probably the most common mistake women make with makeup.
So I suppose then what you're really trying to do is try to blend in as much as possible with your natural skin color, and not really highlight too much on using the cosmetics.
You want to highlight your eyes. When I say highlight, I guess it brings attention to you. Just want to enhance that look. That's really what you want to do. And if you are doing things that are distracting from that, then you're not highlighting it when you're speaking in those terms. So neutral is the best way to go.
Now, for the guy, it's the watch that really does is the accessory, you know, at an interview and can really make a statement with that. Should women wear accessories to an interview?
Absolutely. Accessories can give a lot of credibility to a look. If you're going in trying to be confident and credible and authoritative and conservative, and you go in with little dainty accessories, then, you know, it's not giving adding bulk to that look. So I say go to a little bit more medium to larger scale accessories, and of course don't overdo it, you know, create a balance with it. But wear something more substantial, because accessories can really add to a look a great deal.
Yeah.
And just make sure it's appropriate. For example, earrings that are dangling earrings, it's not a good accessory because every time you move, the earrings are moving around and flapping around. So an earlobed earring works best, type of an earring. You know, bracelets work really well. Watches work really well, but don't overdo it. But do wear something. A lot of women say, well, I'll put on a conservative suit. They don't accessorize it. And you have to be careful of that. Now, I will tell you this. One of my personal pet peeves are lapel pins. Sometimes just putting a lapel pin on a jacket is not going to add to the look. You need to balance it out. I'm not crazy about lapel pins, but I'm not saying they're bad. I just said I'm not crazy about them. Necklaces and bracelets can work very effective.
Okay. Now, when looking for a suit, that's representative of, you know, the corporate culture,
mm-hmm.
what should you look for first? You know, the color, style, fit, fabric, weave, you know, is there a hierarchy of things you should look for first?
Yeah, the first thing I say is look for color. You know, you go right to that rack, look at a size 10, you're looking for a navy suit, a gray suit, a brown, or green, whatever it is, and you go to that rack, and you want one of these two colors that you decided on, and they're not there, don't waste your time. Move on. Because you can have the right style suit with the wrong color. So I say look for color first, then look for style. And then you can look at the fabric and the weave and things of that nature and the texture. And then you've got to really look at the fit and make sure it fits well. That should be the final aspect. Because what happens is for men, for years, you know, you go into a store, automatically they do alterations. For women, they don't do that. And so you've got to make sure that it's tailored very well, so that the look is professional.
Okay. Now, Parker, is there a relationship between ill-fitting suits and poor self-image?
Well, I wouldn't say that an ill-fitted suit is a reflection of someone who has a poor self-image. I think it's more of the industry. But what it does do is it helps when you walk into a space, for example, you walk into the interview's office, And your sleeves are too long, or your pants are too long, can look very sloppy. And the perception of that is not so much a poor self-image, but really the perception, which is not necessarily reality, but perception is reality. They can perceive you to be your work to be sloppy, your skills and talents not to be, you know, top notch. But if you go in and everything's tailored perfectly, that also communicates the message that you pay attention to detail and your work is not sloppy. It is organized and it is structured. I would say the biggest common mistake women make in tailoring a jacket is just the length of the jacket. The length of the jacket should go right at the break of the wrist, maybe a quarter of an inch longer. But I've worked with tailors who have tried to have sleeves come down to a woman's knuckles, and that's way too long. I don't care what
that
is. Yeah. But so between the wrist and the knuckles, I've seen it go down 2 or 3 inches, and literally, I've shaken a client's hand that was coming to see me, and I was grasping her jacket sleeve because it was way too long. And this is more of an issue for petite women because they don't realize, hey, I've got to shorten my sleeves. They do see the pants need to be shortened, but the sleeves they don't pay a lot of attention to, and that's real, real critical.
Now, Parker, would you suggest if someone's not really sure about how their clothes are fitting them, or perhaps they're having a difficult time, you know, finding clothes off the rack that really suits them, do you suggest, you know, just to be on the safe side, that they at least have one suit that they had tailored, you know, went into a professional tailor and had their measurements taken and all of that?
Well, that just really depends on, you know, the type of job you're going after. I mean, some people are just the perfect off-the-rack size. They're perfect. They don't need alterations. So unless they're a really high-level executive, I don't recommend the custom route because it's expensive, you know, and so the budget's not necessarily there for that. I think you can achieve the same look if you spend the money on getting an off-the-rack suit tailored. I mean, certainly an off-the-tailored suit has a, you know, you can pick your own colors and styles and totally create your whole look, which is what we do with clients. There's a lot of people there that don't want to spend the money. And even in today's world, a lot of my clients who have the money would rather just buy it off the rack and have it tailored right now.
I see. Now, we've talked about things that, you know, women should try doing for their interviews in terms of dress. Now, what are some things that, what type of dress should women avoid for an interview?
Well, dresses can be very tricky. You don't want a real light, clingy fabric. You know, you want a more medium weight. You want it to be more of a solid. You don't want patterns and bold, which distracts. And then you definitely want to cover your sleeves. And I recommend at least a short sleeve dress. I do not recommend spaghetti straps or a strap dress. I don't even really recommend a cap sleeve because it just barely covers the shoulder blade. So I'd recommend something that is definitely a short sleeve to a long sleeve dress, something that's tailored and professional and is not distracting from what you're there to do.
Okay. Now, I'm a firm believer in tools, and I think that, you know, if someone's out there looking for an interview, that they, you know, they should have easy access to something that can help them out. Are there tools that someone could use or look at that would help them go through this process of finding the right clothes and all of that?
Well, we're actually coming out with our interview skills program. It's called How to Prepare, Package, and Deliver a Successful Interview. And there is a book on dressing for women and one for men. And I think it's going to be out in about 6 weeks. And you can actually go online and take the test yourself. There's no charge for the test at all, and you'll be able to get your results back. And it will tell you what you scored. So on the dress part, you might have scored a 28 or 38. I think the average score is probably about 38, because it's a very detailed aspect of dressing for an interview. And then they can purchase the ebook with all the answers right there and download it. And that's been a very helpful tool for a lot of people. And that's what we're here now doing, is to update the book and put it back on the market. But that's the best place to go. And, you know, you can always, if you don't have access to that, or you don't have access to, you know, I highly recommend bringing in an image consultant, but an image consultant that works with, you know, corporations. Not a fashion stylist. Is a big difference. Because if you go to a stylist, you're probably going to wind up with a look that's not appropriate. So seeking out someone, even if you go to, let's say you don't have the money to hire someone, it's well worth to spend the $300 or $400 to get that information. As a matter of fact, I've got a client just next week who's preparing for a job interview for a dean for a university. And she's shifting her colleges. One is technology and the other one is not. So she has no idea even where to start with that. So she's investing a little bit of money to really find out, how do I interview? What is my look for my interview? And interesting enough, she's been taken to lunch and dinner. She said, I have no idea. I said, because they want to see how you interact with other people socially.
Yeah.
You've already, you know,
yeah, doing
already
all those things really are important. I mean, you know, it takes the time, you know, to get an interview going, you know.
Yep.
Make the most out of it, and you know, practice ahead of time, do all those things that are going to help you maximize your the possibility of you landing that job.
You know, it's really interesting you say that, because it is, you know, you spend all this time, resumes and credentials and reference letters and phone calls, and you know, you are selling your product, your brand, to an organization. And a lot of people, the mistake they make is they do all the right preparations, but they don't dress for it. There's a if the listeners would go to youtube.com/ShuvaTV, that's C-H-U-V as in Victor, A as in Apple, there's a mini commercial we did about two women who are preparing for a job interview. And it was produced to be funny, too. But
yeah,
it's the extremes. You know, you've got your person who's doing it right and one who does it totally wrong. And you'll see where one of the young ladies comes out of the door dressed professionally and the other one comes out wearing her favorite outfit. Well, her favorite outfit is a low-cut blouse and a short skirt.
Yeah.
So it's a little humorous, but it gets the point across. You know, when you look at those two people, it's like, which one represents this position? Which one would represent my organization? Which one would not embarrass me if I were to hire them? Because people are not going to hire or promote someone who is going to embarrass them. It's just not going to happen, because their reputation and brand is on the line.
Yeah. No, I saw that video, and it is funny. It's very good, and I recommend that listeners do see that, because although we may know some of these things, when you're at an interview, you know, everything just kind of flies out the window, so to speak, and you can forget some of the more obvious things that you should or shouldn't be doing.
And, you know, it's interesting. What you want to focus on is communicating your skills and talents to that organization. You don't want to have your attention taken away because you're not sure if this outfit's right or that's not right, because that self-doubt, you're going to be focusing on that and not the actual interview. So get everything squared away before you do it. And you said something earlier too, I think we're going to be doing an interview on this at some point, but it's really practicing, you know, practice the look,
exactly,
practice
yeah.
the body language, practice in front of a camera, look at how you communicate when you're sitting down, standing up, those type of things. Because if you practice, you know, practice makes perfect. And you're more comfortable.
Yeah, in the last interview we had, you made mention of, I think you mentioned videotaping yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That is a tremendous tool, really, because, you know, we don't know what we really look like until we actually have a camera on us and we're able to see ourselves. And you can really make just some incredible adjustments in your body language, behavior, and so on.
Yes.
So that's an excellent tool.
And video doesn't lie. You know, so it's going to capture you the way you are. And once you see it and it's a bad habit or it's just not positioned correctly or the look's not right, you're going to see it from another person's perspective,
yeah,
and you're going to go change,
yeah,
it, and you won't do it again because you're embarrassed at how it looks. But once you fix
it's really surprising, you know, what you see when you've done that. And I've done that myself, so.
That's why I'm always behind the camera instead of in front of it.
So Parker, how does, you know, if someone has further questions about any of these things,
mm-hmm,
how do they get a hold of you? Is there a number they can reach you at?
Yeah, they can call me at 678-705-2366. Again, that number is 678-705-2366. Or they can shoot me an email to parker@shupagroup.com. And then go actually to our website, and there's a contact place where they can contact us and ask questions. And that would be shuvagroup.com, CHUVA group.com. And on the front page, there's the actual TV show we just did this past week is there, as well as they can ask the expert, the image expert, and we try to answer all those questions.
Great. Anything else you'd like to add, Parker? The show is coming to a close, and
Well, I think the main thing that I think that the women that are listening, as they're going through the interview process, is get organized. You know, get structured. You know, don't freak out, whatever the situation is. Create a game plan. You know, really understand how to prepare effectively and how to package effectively and things of that nature. So I highly recommend just, you know, start making a list of what needs to be done and knocking them out one by one and not panic. Because a lot of times people walk in on a Friday and they're laid off and they start to panic. And so as hard as that is to say not to do, if you start getting structured and getting organized and look at all the components of the interviewing, from the dress to the planning to delivery, you'll feel more confident and you'll feel like you know exactly what's more effective for you.
And just want to tell everybody out there, please write in. We really appreciate those emails. They make for a really great show. And you can write us at artofimagetalk@gmail.com. Well, it looks like we're all out of time, and we look forward to our next show when we talk about our presence at an interview, and that's going to cover our communication, body language.
Great. Yeah, that's going to be a great show. It's a lot of cool stuff to really learn and hone in on so that you can really deliver your message effectively.
Well, thank you, Parker, and we'll look forward to our next show.
Okay, Dan.
Bye
thanks.
For now.
All right. Bye-bye.
The Art of Image has been sponsored by L.T. Bodricks of San Francisco. I'm Dan Phillips. Thanks for listening.